So my name is Dr. Christopher Burr. I am an ethics fellow at the Alan Turing Institute, which is the UK's National Institute for Data Science and Artificial Intelligence. And within the Alan Turing Institute, I work within the public policy program. I am working on a project that is seeking to develop a methodology known as participatory assurance in the context of digital mental health care.
What's the trust challenge that you're addressing here?
So there's quite a wide range of technologies that fall within the kind of category of digital mental health care, or what I've actually referred to elsewhere as digital psychiatry. Some of these technologies are accessible to individual users. So many people may be familiar with sort of mobile health apps they can download on their iPhone or Android. But there's also a number of technologies that formal healthcare systems like the NHS are trying to procure, as well as institutions outside of formal healthcare, so employment or education, looking to support the mental health of employees as well as their students. And when it comes to making a decision about which app, which service, which system, which technology you want to maybe download on your phone or procure if you're within the organization, one of the things you have to ask is whether or not you actually trust that the particular service or product that is being sold to you does the sort of job that it claims to. And sometimes the considerations that you need to make as a user or as a purchaser are based on things like whether or not it's a safe thing to buy. So think about buying a car, for instance. We want to think about its safety rating, and we look to things like the NCAP safety rating. Or if we're buying some clothes for our child, we may care about whether or not they're sort of fire safe and look to ratings. But when it comes to the purchase of technologies that are intended to support or promote mental health, it's not clear whether or not goals like safety really capture the things that users ultimately care about. So, for instance, if I download an app, maybe I want to know what's going to happen with my data, especially if it's sensitive health information. Alternatively, if I am, say, a psychiatrist working within the NHS and I'm trying to think about whether or not to procure an autonomous system that's going to be helping me make diagnoses or assessments, maybe I care about whether or not that automated tool supports something known as explainability, which means if it makes an automated recommendation to me, can I actually understand the basis on which that decision or that recommendation has been made? Many of these goals fall within what I'd claim to be a sort of an ethical realm, so outside safety. That's not to say safety doesn't have ethical considerations, but there are nevertheless a wider set of ethical goals which also need assurance. And so this project's looking at how or what is necessary for the developers and the designers to communicate to those who may be looking to download an app or to purchase a technology, to ensure that there is a sufficient level of trust both between the designers, developers, and the deployers of the technology, as well as those who are choosing whether or not to actually purchase or use the system in the first place.
Can you tell me about the multidisciplinary aspect of this? You know, what different kind of fields come together here?
A good way to think about it is by focusing on the three Ds, which are the design, the development, and the deployment of a piece of technology. So we often think of autonomous systems as being a very development or engineering-heavy task, especially given the area we're working in, which is autonomous systems and sort of looking at quite complex, maybe machine learning algorithms. But there's also preceding design stages where we have to think about who the affected stakeholders are, what their various needs and challenges may be. If we're working with data, we also need to think about legal issues such as data protection impact assessments or equality impact assessments, especially within the public sector, for instance, where if you choose to procure a system, you need to demonstrate things like whether or not you have considered how that particular system is going to be impacting upon different subgroups of the population, so there's the public sector equality duty. And so some of the early design decisions raise challenges that have legal and social implications, as well as domains like UX design, user experience design. If you're developing an app, for instance, you want to make sure that it's well designed so that people can use it. It's intuitive. It's supporting the kind of the needs of the user. So there's lots of considerations that occur within the design of a system or a technology. Then obviously when we move into the development, once we have kind of our problem formulation well set out and we know that the data that we have available to train maybe a model or a system, then when we also move into development, we get into the more technical engineering side of things that's more familiar to data scientists, machine learning or AI experts. But of course, once the software has been developed, we then also need to implement it or deploy it within a particular system. And then it comes back to the sort of the human factors again, where we're developing systems that may be influencing the decision making or judgment of the end user. And that raises plenty of very interesting questions about behavioral and cognitive sciences, such as how do we interact with these systems? Are there certain cognitive biases that we have to be aware of about the end users, which maybe affect whether or not the system or the tool that we're designing and developing actually has the end result that we want. Too often these kind of final stage considerations are not thought about well enough, and a great sort of a very accurate tool could be produced, but if no one knows how to use it, or it's too complicated, or it's not leading to the right outcomes, it's just wasted resources. So if we think about the design, the development, the deployment lifecycle, it's quite clear how there's plenty of room for not just multidisciplinary questions, but interdisciplinary, because no single stage should be thought of on its own.
Can you tell me which industry partners or institutions are involved in this project and what sort of role they're playing?
So the main one is the Institute for Electrical and Electronics Engineers, or the IEEE, as it's often known, within the sort of the circle of its members. So it's a professional association. And they have what's known as an industry connections program, where they bring together developers, researchers, policymakers, and basically create a sort of a space for thinking through the various challenges. And because it's an international organization, very well respected among electrical engineers and software engineers alike, it's providing us with that kind of ability to reach maybe some developer communities or policymakers or industry that we may not have reached beforehand. But looking forward as well, part of the support for assurance and the development of trust is the creation of robust standards. So when, for instance, a claim is made maybe about the explainability of a tool or the fairness of a tool, so ethical goals, are there standards that can be developed that can be shared throughout developer communities so that we're not simply creating a situation where everybody's trying to develop their own things and making claims that aren't sort of reliant on universal standards? So I mentioned earlier on the NCAP standard, obviously that's a European standard. So when anybody uses that as a way of demonstrating the safety of a car, it's a well-respected and well-understood safety standard. And so the IEEE are going to be supporting us with the potential development of ethical standards, specifically within the context of digital mental health care. But hopefully we'll see to what extent those standards can also generalize maybe to support other forms of healthcare or even other domains.
Well, Dr. Bira, I'd like to say thank you for speaking to us today. And I wish you all the best of luck with the project.
Thank you very much. And anybody who wishes to contact me, you can find my details on the TAS Hubs project page. I'd be very happy to speak with anybody who's interested in the project.
To find out more about events or funding opportunities, and to see all of the current research projects and activities, visit the TAS Hub website at tas.ac.uk or follow us on Twitter at TAS_Hub.